Okay, Natalie, let's go ahead and ask them to start the recording, please.
Of course, Leah, could you please start the recording? Let me know when you're done. Thank you.
This call is now being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect now.
Thank you very much, Leah. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the Policy and Implementation Working Group call on the 4th of September 2013. On the call today, we have Olga Cavalli, Nick Steinbach, Sarah Langdon-Ohl, Holly Rice, Sarah Falvey, sitting in for Aparna, Klaus Stoll, Edward Morris, Wolf Knurban, Chuck Gomes, Amir Sadir, Tim Cole, Anik Manskalesi, Maureen Tubberly, Michael Graham, Avi Doria, Marie-Laure Lemineur, Tim Ruiz, James Waddell, Brian Winterfeld, Alan Greenberg, Tom Barrett, and Phil Morano. From staff, we have Marika Koenig and myself, Natalie Kerrigan. We receive no apologies for today's call. I'd like to remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Chuck.
Thank you very much, Natalie. I appreciate that. This is Chuck Gomes. I'm one of the co-chairs of this. Unless I'm mistaken, my co-chair is not on the call. Is that correct?
He's waiting for an operator to connect.
Oh, okay. All right. Thanks.
Or a conference specialist, as they call themselves.
I'm here. This is Jay Scott.
Oh, welcome, Jay Scott. There's my co-chair. I'm glad you're on. Welcome. Welcome to everybody. This is the second call of the Policy and Implementation Working Group, and hopefully you've seen the agenda. And let me just, first of all, since this is the first regular call that we've had, is there anybody on the call that's not familiar with Adobe Connect and needs any tips on that? Because we would like you, if you want to speak, and we welcome you to do that, to raise your hand in Adobe Connect. There are other features in there, too, I think, as most of you know, in terms you can agree to a point and some other things there. But most importantly, if you'd like to speak, raise your hand. That helps the chairs and managing the queue. And I will ask my co-chair and the two vice chairs to watch the queue in case I don't do a very good job of that, and don't hesitate to let me know if I'm missing someone. And those of you not on the Adobe Connect, and I understand that happens sometimes, you can't be on a computer or you may be on a cell phone or something traveling, speak up to get in the queue, and we'll get you in the queue. If you have any questions on using Adobe Connect, if you'd let me know now, if I can't help you, I'm sure others can. Not seeing any hands or hearing anyone, I'll assume everybody's okay with that. Let's go ahead, and we've done the roll call. My understanding, and Marika will set me straight if I'm wrong, that we have SOIs on everyone except for Christian Bope Domalongo. Is that right, Marika?
This is Marika. Yes, Chuck, that's correct. We have reminded him, I think, already four times, and we've now given him a final warning that if we don't receive a statement of interest by Friday, we'll remove him from the mailing list. So far, we haven't received any response whatsoever.
Thanks, and my compliments to everyone else for being so diligent and timely on that. That's great. So, again, thanks very much on that. Okay. I'd like to jump right into agenda item two note, first of all, that the GNSO Council did approve Jay Scott and I as co-chairs. The understanding is that the council does not need to, there's nothing that requires the council to approve vice chairs, and so they didn't do that, but we as a leadership team decided it would be a good idea to discuss that today. The two proposed vice chairs, as you heard in our initial call, are Michael Graham from the IPC and Olivier Kouame, or Olivier Kouame, from the NPOC. Both of them volunteered to work as part of the leadership team. And so the first thing we'd like to do with in that regard is to just ask if anyone has any questions of them, any concerns you have about this kind of a setup, because I think it's the first time it's happened like this. It is perfectly okay within the working group guidelines. And while you're thinking about whether you have questions for either one of the vice chair candidates or comments or questions about this kind of a leadership team in a working group, let me say that in our leadership meeting after our first working group call, we decided that it would probably be best if Jay Scott and I alternate the primary chair responsibilities for the working group, obviously according to our availability, and that in cases where neither one of us could be available, then we would use the vice chairs. At the same time, assuming this working group is okay with the use of two vice chairs in addition to the two co-chairs, we would all four, along with Marika and Mary, serve as a leadership team to prepare for the meetings, to set agendas, and so forth. Somebody needs to mute their phone. So but please remember to do that when you're not talking. Sometimes there's other interference, but certainly if you're talking to someone else not on this call, it's really important to mute your phone. And again, star 6 will mute it, star 4 will unmute it, or some of you, like myself, may have muting capability on your phone. All right, so that's how we plan to operate, and we're planning on having a leadership call the Monday before each Wednesday meeting that we have, so we can kind of organize ourselves and make sure we're well prepared for each of the working group calls on Wednesdays. We did decide to, as you hopefully saw in an email message, to meet biweekly. So every other Wednesday at this time, we examined adjusting the time and moving it up or back affected different people. So we decided to do it at this time. And if and when we decide to break out into some subgroups, we will encourage the use of some more favorable times to other groups. When they're formed for regions that this may not be as ideal a time for. First of all, let me ask Jay Scott and Michael and Olivier to see if I left anything. Comment if I left anything out.
Hello. Yes.
Olivier, did you have something to add?
Yes, but I'm trying to disconnect. How do they connect, please?
I couldn't understand you. Okay. Now, let me open it up to the whole working group. Please raise your hand in Adobe or speak up if you're not in Adobe if you have any questions or concerns or comments about using two co-chairs along with two vice chairs on the leadership team of the working group.
Chuck, this is Marika. It's actually about an earlier point that I had to raise my hand.
Oh, okay. Oh, you know what I need to do is I need to move. Well, let's see. I'm sorry about that. I had scrolled down on the participants, so I didn't see your hand. Thanks for speaking up, Marika. Go ahead.
And no problem. Just I put it in the chat as well. Just a minor correction that the confirmation of the working group co-chairs is actually on the council agenda for tomorrow. It is on the consent agenda, and I haven't seen any objections so far. So I'm sure it will be fine. But I just wanted to correct that for the record.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Now, I am not seeing any of the chat. Is there a reason for that? Is everybody everybody else, is anybody not seeing the chat besides me?
Cheryl here, Chuck. I had to refresh. Things went off, and then I refreshed the page, and it all came back again.
Okay, so let's... okay. Where? How do I refresh? I guess I need my lesson in Adobe myself.
I literally, Cheryl here, just refreshed the whole page, as in with the little refresh or recycle button at the top of your browser. That's what I did anyway, and it fixed me. Hopefully it'll fix you too, sir.
Okay, there we go. It's refreshing right now, so hopefully I can see the chat. Thank you, Cheryl. I appreciate that. Are you following me? I'm sorry.
Indeed, I am, Chuck.
That's a little private joke. So, sorry about that. Okay. James.
Hi, Chuck. Thanks. James Boyle speaking for the record. And a question for you and Jay Scott and staff. And first, I should apologize because I did miss the last call. But a general question, because I am sincerely scratching my head a little bit. I've never encountered a working group with two co-chairs and two co-vice chairs, and I'm just trying to make sure I have a good handle on the difference between the roles. And is there something particular about the subject matter of our work or a charter that's driving this different structure, or is it just maybe that the group is very large and it's going to take a lot of work and it's maybe too much for a couple of folks to handle? I'm just kind of trying to get a better understanding of what I'm not understanding from this call. And I don't necessarily think it's a bad idea. I just don't understand the difference between all the different roles.
Sure. This is Chuck again. And everybody, please state your name each time you talk for the sake of the transcript and the recording. It actually was a suggestion that was made in our first meeting. There were somebody needs to mute their phone, please. Thank you. The suggestion made was that there were four people who volunteered for a leadership role, and I don't recall right now who it was, suggested that there be two vice chairs. It wasn't done for any particular reason, because of the size of the working group or our expected tasks or anything like that. It was just suggested, and nobody on the call, or I should word that in a more positive way, everyone on the call was seemed to be supportive of that. And then we as leaders kind of met afterwards to say, okay, how do we do that? Because you're right. I don't think it's been done before, and so we decided to use the vice chairs, unless the group objects to that, in a kind of a mostly behind the scenes leadership role. But I'm sure there will be opportunities when we can rely on them for a more visible role. Does that answer your question, James?
Thanks. Yeah, it does, and I guess we will we'll all kind of play this out together. Like you said, it's the first time, and I'm kind of looking forward to it. Maybe it's something that we can borrow for future groups. Thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thanks for the good question. Anyone else have a question or comment? Is anyone opposed to this particular approach to leading the working group? Obviously, we will get the feedback from the council after their meeting tomorrow, I'm just curious whether there's anyone who is opposed to this particular approach. If so, you can either raise your hand to speak or just indicate a disagree in Adobe, or speak up if you're not in Adobe. I'll ask the other, Jay Scott and Michael and Olivier, if I missed anything there. If so, please speak up and and pointed out, or of course Marika too. Mary is, I believe, in Singapore and will not be able to participate with us, as far as I understand today. Is that correct, Marika?
Yeah, it is, Marika. It's correct. I think she's actually on her way to the U.S.
Okay, she's actually en route. Okay, very good. Okay. All right, I'm not hearing anything, so we will go ahead pending comments from the GNSO Council and proceed as we are right now until directed differently. So now we go to the review of the Wiki workspace. Now, I apologize in advance for those of you that don't need this, but because there are new people participating, we thought that it would be helpful to do for a quick overview on the Wiki site for the Policy and Implementation Working Group. You'll notice it's up on the screen. You're welcome to also log on to it separately if you like. Then you can manipulate it yourself. And Marika and Jay Scott agreed to go through this exercise, and I will turn it over to Marika, and you can take it from there.
I think I'm going to go first, Chuck. This is Jay Scott.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
I don't know how many people have served on working groups before, but I guess it was about 5 or 6 years ago we began using this tool, which is a wiki site, which is like a web page that is dedicated to the working group that can be viewed by members of the working group, and it can be used to facilitate the dissemination of information within the working group outside of the list and outside of the telephone conferences and meetings. It also serves as sort of a repository for all information regarding the particular working group. So as you will see here, we're in the GNSO tab, and we're at the Policy and Implementation Working Group homepage, and then over on the left rail is what we would call it at Yahoo, the grayed out box. You see Marika is moving the cursor there now. It says that there's the Policy and Implementation homepage, but then it's got subpages, meetings, when the next meeting is. It has our 21st August 2010 meeting. I'm sure that's an archive of the notes that went on there. If you go, she'll show you here. See, it shows what our agenda was. And then you see the working group documents, drafts published. That page is blank right now. Of course, we haven't published any drafts. There's also a page that has our charter that defines for you what's expected of us and what we're supposed to be considering and what our outcomes should be, what our deliverables should be. And then we have a section that has members and mailing list archive. This is very good. This is where you can read everyone's statement of interest by clicking on the hypertext link in the list, and you'll see down at the bottom there's an archive for the mailing list. And then also there are background documents. And again, this is another great resource. If you can't find something that's been sent to you, you can look here. And those are sort of the broad sections. But within each section, there are tools that you can use. You see there's also, Marika showing you the attendance log. You can see who's been coming to the meetings and, you know, who's shown up and what their percentage of attendance is and those kinds of things. And this is great to, so that the chairs and vice chairs can make sure that there's broad community representation at meetings when we take decisions. But there are also tools within each of these pages that you can use that allow you, as a member of this working group, to pass information along and to review information. And for sort of the ins and outs of that part of the wiki, I'm going to turn it over to Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. As Scott explained, a bit the structure, it's a bit of standard structure that we typically use for most working groups as they get started. But this is really cool. I think I'm hearing an echo. Someone needs to probably mute their computer. Okay, I think it's better. But this is really a tool that is there for you to use and explore and develop as you see fit. There's a possibility to create additional pages. For example, if you would decide to create sub-teams, you may want to create specific dedicated parts of the wiki for those groups to start drafting information or posting information or call the attention of others to that. It's also like a public repository, so for people that are interested in this group but not necessarily want to become members or participate in the calls, they can go here and find what the working group has been doing. Eventually, we hope as well to post here drafts, so there's an opportunity for working group members to look at the drafts and provide comments or post new drafts. So again, it's really up to you as a working group to decide how you want to use that. Some working groups use it more as a static tool, that they can just go there and, you know, find the agenda for the meeting or find their documents or just look who the working group members are. Others decide to use it as a more interactive tool and collaborate on the space and developing documents or elaborating on issues or discussions. I think at this stage you're probably all set up as able to see and comment on the site. If you want to start having editing rights and playing around, you know, let me know and we can set that up if it hasn't already been done so. A little word of warning as well, of course, if you start making changes, it is visible for everyone. So please don't start deleting things or moving things around without the overall agreement from the working group. But again, if you have any suggestions or if there are any things you would like to see added, we're here as well to help you with that and assist as needed. So I don't know if there are any specific questions. We're also happy there are a lot of training materials about the wiki available. So if you want to spend some more time diving into this and understanding how you can use the tool and how to work with it, we can definitely point you in the right direction.
Okay, this is Chuck again. Are there any questions? I see a hand. James, is your hand up from before, or is that a new hand?
I'm sorry, that's an old hand. I'm taking it down now.
Thank you. Okay. One question I have, J. Scott and Marika, and thanks for your excellent overview of that. What's login for?
You can log in and you can then manipulate and edit certain things. Like I can log in and I updated my statement of interest, as you will see, on August 22nd to change some things. I added a picture. I changed from IPC to BC. I changed some of the information regarding our applicant status for .yahoo and .flickr, those kinds of things.
Now, if you update, this is Chuck again, if I update my statement of interest, is that updated everywhere my statement of interest appears on the ICANN site or just for this working group?
You know, Chuck, I think it's an active hypertext link. So if it's appearing via hypertext link, it would just go back to this same page and it would be updated.
Okay.
If it's somehow been blocked and copied, of course it would not.
Thank you.
And this is Marika. Just to add, I think J. Scott is right there. The statements of interest are hosted on a different part of the GNSO section, and what we do is indeed link directly to there so that if any updates are made, they directly come through. And just a note as well on the login, currently it's set up that indeed not all external viewers can see the page, but once you log in, then is when you can actually, specific rights are granted to working group members or registered users. All registered users are able, for example, to comment on pages, while working group members will also be able to have editing rights. And I think Cheryl's already asking for some of those. So we can set that up for those of you that want, and as well start watching, for example, the that allows you to watch the pages, so then you'll see as well when updates are made to that, you get an automatic email notification that tells you that that an update has been made and shows you that update. So if everyone's happy with that, we can add you as with editing rights to those pages. And instead, if you have any questions, we're happy to answer those as best as we can.
Thanks to both of you. This is Chuck again. Now, if someone doesn't have login credentials, will they be prompted to give those when they click on login?
This is Marika. As all of you have completed statements of interest, you should have login credentials. And if you've forgotten those, I think there is a procedure to get those, but I think the easiest is probably to let the GNSO secretariat know, and they'll be able to point you in the right direction. But in principle, if you have a completed statement of interest, it means also that you have login details, because that was what was needed for you to complete that.
Thanks. Any other questions or comments? Got to give my name again. It's Chuck. So, again, it's really important for the transcript. So and also for the recording. All right. Well, if there are, Amer.
Hi, this is Amer. I'm just wondering, should we as a group, as a working group, decide now whether the members of the working group should have editing rights to the wiki space, or should perhaps staff update the wiki space based on the on what we agree to as a group? I'm just asking this to avoid maybe just chaotic editing the wiki space.
Thanks, Amr. And it's a very good question, because especially with the size of this group, we that could result in some confusion. Now, let me ask a question of Jay Scott and Marika. Can we restrict editing to certain sections, or is it just all editing rights or none?
This is Marika. I think you can restrict editing rights, but it's basically at the parent level. So if you give editing rights at the parent level, the sub-levels would also automatically have the same rights, and I think you can restrict it by pages, but that probably would make it very complex to do it that way. I think someone needs to mute their line. To be fair, I think what we've seen in other groups is typically not many working group members that are very active in starting editing, unless they start working in sub-teams possibly, and normally we do take responsibilities for those sections, as such as meetings, adding working group documents. So that is, I think, is something that the working group may not need to worry about. But again, if the group feels more comfortable for staff doing those updates, or again, it may be something we revisit, as because I think it may become particularly useful if you start creating sub-teams, or if you start using the wiki as a place where people start collaborating on certain documents or comments or information they want to share. At that stage, I think, is where you do want to have editing rights. But then we can, of course, just add it on a case-by-case basis as well as needed.
Thank you, Marika. Alan.
Thank you. ALAC uses wikis a lot to develop documents and work on things, and what we found works best. In theory, even if you have everyone have editing rights, although you can go back and look at the archive and see who changed what when, it's a relatively complex process. And what we found works best is to designate one person as the pen holder for the text that is being developed, and then everyone else use the comments underneath. And you don't need editing rights to be able to comment. And that seems to be able, is a way where you can both track who said what and still maintain some level of reasonable control over the document, so it's not changing, when no one's looking. That's if we get to the point where we're developing documents on the wiki.
This is Chuck again. Thanks a lot, Alan. Those sound like some real practical suggestions. Now, a question for you, Alan. Do you allow general editing rights, like updating SOIs, for everyone? And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, well, anyone who has an SOI has editing rights over it. That's in the design of the SOI part of the wiki. But that's not part of our working space. That's as Marika said, that's part of another part of the GNSO working space, which our membership list simply points to.
So Chuck, again, let me put you on the spot, just since you have had good experience with this. Marika, if I understood it correctly, suggested that we kind of play this out, that it hasn't been too much of a problem in her view and staff's view in other working groups. Do you agree that that's a reasonable approach for right now, and then deal with it if issues arise?
I think so. In general, GNSO working groups have not developed content on the wiki. That we've used mailing lists and documents passed back and forth, with staff normally taking control of the documents. There have been a few exceptions, but in general, that's how that worked. If this group, especially if you start working on smaller subgroups, wants to use wikis, then, as I said, certainly at large has some experience which has worked well, and we also know a number of things that have not worked well, specifically when you let 12 people start each editing the document themselves. I mean, technically it works fine, but tracking who's doing what, it gets a little bit complex.
This is Chuck again. Thanks, Alan.
Okay.
Amr, thanks for asking this question. Are you comfortable proceeding as Marika suggested? In other words, we will leave it as is now, and as needs arise, deal with them. Is that an approach that you think sounds okay at this stage?
Yeah, this is Amr. Yeah, that's fine by me. And whatever the working group decides is really okay with me. My concern was just the large number of the members of the working group, and I'm guessing that this is going to be a pretty busy working group with quite a few sub-teams, and I think it might be a good idea to just not waste too much time trying to chase things around in the wiki space and focus more on developing policy. So, thanks.
This is Chuck. Thanks, Amr. Does anyone object, anybody at all in the working group object to approaching it as Marika suggested? Not seeing any hands or hearing anybody, I'll assume that that is correct, and we'll proceed like that. But please speak up if you, at any point, if you see that we've got a possible problem that we may need to react to. Thanks again to Jay Scott and Marika for going over this. And as I think it was Marika that said, please feel free to ask staff if you need any assistance or have some questions and so forth. Now, I'm going to make a comment to my co-chair and the vice chairs. Sometimes I'm not very good at keeping up on the chat. So if you see something there that I don't catch that needs attention, please jump in and let me know. I sometimes I do it better than other times, but I would appreciate, and the same with Marika and Mary when she's on. If you guys just call, don't hesitate to interrupt me if I'm missing something that's there. All right, looks like some good chat going on in terms of editing. Let's go to item four. And our leaders report, we suggested, a week and a half ago, that everyone review not full documents. Eventually you should be familiar with all these documents, but particular portions as we start out our work. And so what I want to do is go through those one by one and see if there are any questions about those documents. The one major document is the working group guidelines, and there were just a couple sections of there that we particularly called to your attention. That I would like to find out whether anyone has any questions. And the first one was the working group members' responsibilities. That's section 225 of the working group guidelines. Are there any questions on those? I think they're pretty clear, but I certainly want to give opportunity for discussion if that's needed. Okay. Not seeing any hands or hearing anyone. The next section of the working group guidelines that we highlighted was section 3.4, the individual group behavior and norms. Any questions or comments on that? Okay. Then last of all, the working group charter, which we will focus on a lot about this process. Any questions or comments on the working group charter? I think probably most of you know that if there's something that's not included in the charter, we do have the opportunity to go back to the council if it's a significant change from what was in the charter and request that that be added to the charter. So that's always an option that we can take if we need to, and we'll deal with that when we get to that point. Note that Jeff Newman is our GNSO Council liaison, and so we will certainly rely on him if we need to ask questions of the council or communicate to the council and so forth. Now, we do have other counselors on here as well, but Jeff is our primary liaison there. Okay, no questions on the charter. Then the next item on the agenda under agenda item 4 is the issue of sending an invitation to other SOs and ACs. And I'd like to just share that Jonathan Robinson, the chair of the council, already sent, even before the drafting team on this topic, an invitation to all the SOs and ACs and made the call for volunteers, which many of you responded to. Now, as far as an invitation, now that we've started our working group, to all the SOs and ACs, a question I have for the working group is whether or not you are comfortable with the leadership team developing those and sending those out. We're willing to do that, but at the same time, if there's strong preference for the full working group to be involved in that, obviously we would keep you informed, but also if we need some sort of a time period when the working group can provide feedback before we send the communications out, we can do that as well. Let's start with Aubrey.
Thank you. Aubrey speaking. That last one is what I'd endorse, the idea of you guys working on it and then just doing a sanity quick check with the group, you know, something like a 24, 48-hour speak up if you object type of review. So somewhere between all of us getting into the nitty-gritty and working it with you and you all just sending it when you think it's ready. Just sort of a sanity review with the group is something I'd advocate. Thank you.
Thanks, Aubrey. This is Chuck. Appreciate that. Jay Scott.
I've already started working on a draft, and it's because we are also required under the charter to seek input from them on the questions that are in the charter. So it would sort of be a dual document. It'd be one that invites them to participate, but also invites their input on those questions. So I'm hoping to have something to circulate later today or first thing tomorrow.
Thank you very much. And I assume we'll take a cut at it first as a leadership team and then put it out to the whole group.
That's right. I will circulate it to the leadership team either today before close of business Pacific Daylight Time or tomorrow. And then, Chuck, I will we can discuss it on our list. And once we are comfortable, then we can send it to the big list.
Sounds good to me. Thanks, Jay Scott. Appreciate that. Holly.
Holly Rice for the Transcript Records. I'm a little bit confused. I looked at the length of the list, and I'm not sure we actually need anybody else unless we actually go through the list or have the leadership team go through the list and see if there are any particular big gaps of people. I've sort of done that, and I'm not sure that there are, but I think the important thing now would be to get comments rather than more membership. So if we have work to be done, then I think that's the time to go back to the various groups and get comment. I don't think we need more people. Thanks.
Thanks, Holly. And as Jay Scott, I think, indicated, this is more than just communicating that the working group's open and if there are other people that want to be involved. I understand the concern about the size of the group. That's legitimate. But we do need to keep it open because that's
yes.
that's important. But also, there will be times when, for example, we have a public policy issue that we would really benefit from some feedback from the GAC. And so we want them to be aware of what's going on, that we will periodically be reaching out to them on areas where they think that they may have some input that would be helpful to our work.
I agree with that, and I'd say I think making a distinction between getting more members now rather than the very important task of making sure everybody's contributing as they should over time.
Thanks, Holly. And one of the things that it appears, at least to me and the rest of the leadership team, is that it looks like we have, as far as, especially within the GNSO and the ALAC, we have quite good representation across all the SGs and constituencies, as well as the ALAC. So that's a really positive sign. So we don't necessarily need to reach out to any particular group like that and encourage participation. But there are some SOs and ACs that are not participating, and maybe they will elect not to participate, and that's okay, but we want to make sure they're aware. Thank you. Cheryl.
Thank you, Chuck. Cheryl Langdonell for the record. Whilst I hear what Holly says, I also think it's terribly important to recognise that GNSO working groups are open and remain open, and that the mechanisms that are enshrined in the guidelines have all sorts of protections to make sure that we don't go back to the beginnings on things if new people join throughout the process. So I'm not overly concerned, and even if you have huge groups, and we have had huge groups in the past, you end up with a core small number of workers anyway. That said, the reason I put my hand up, Chuck, was to say I fully endorse the concept of the leadership team putting together the draft and getting it out to the work group and then us getting it promptly back. But I was just keen to make sure that we were aware of any timeline limitations and indeed any opportunities. For example, should you wish the CCNSO Council to consider such a missive from us, their next meeting, and indeed the only meeting they'll be holding in September, is on the 10th of September. So I wanted to put that date forward.
Oh, that's very good information to have. Thanks, Cheryl. We really need to get this task done with a couple days lead time at least before that CCNSO meeting date. Thanks for that. Another thing with regard to other SOs and ACs, one of the things we as a leadership team thought would be a good idea, because we have a GAC member participating as an individual in this working group already, I reached out to Olga Cavelli, who's on the call today, and ask her if she would be willing, and I'm going to word this very carefully, so listen to my wording. Hopefully I will do it properly. If she would be willing to serve as an unofficial, informal liaison with the GAC, and those words unofficial and informal are intentional. We don't want to step on anybody's toes. The formal liaison role that the GAC used to have on the GNSO Council was dropped, and there are a variety of issues there that we don't need to go in here. But Olga kindly agreed to that, and so assuming that the in our letter to the GAC in particular, we'll bring that up and ask whether or not they are comfortable with that, understanding, again, that it's informal and unofficial, but it would provide maybe a smoother channel of communication. Now, obviously, on more official communications, we'll do it between the co-chairs and the whatever supporting organization or AC is involved, but I thank Olga for agreeing to serve in that capacity. We didn't want to suggest it if she wasn't willing, so that's why we asked her first. Any questions or comments on that? Okay. I think then we can move to the next item on there. It's very brief. I did send a message to Jeff Newman for council consideration with regard to whether or not the council would like to suggest to ICANN board members that they are welcome to participate, not either, they of course participate as a regular member in the working group, but also if they'd like to observe, we welcome them to do that. And that is what the leadership team felt was really a council decision, not a working group decision. So Jeff followed up with that, and the council, it's in the council's hands now how they want to handle that. Okay, moving on to the big task we have early on in our work, and that's the development of a work schedule. Thanks to Marika's work, she distributed a mind mapping, I guess a map from that, that will be put up in Adobe right now. For those that aren't on Adobe, hopefully you saw it and can follow maybe along with a copy that you have. But I would like to turn it over to Marika to talk about the mind mapping tool and how it works, and then go into how this would help us move towards developing a work plan and ultimately a time schedule as well. Marika?
Thanks, Chuck. Yeah, this is Marika. So some of you may already be familiar with this tool, with this approach, as it's actually something that has been introduced, I'll give credit to where credit is due to, by Mikey O'Connor to some of the working groups that have been running for a while. And it has been proven quite successful for working groups at the start of the process to use the mind mapping as a kind of tool to facilitate free-flowing brainstorming on how to approach or tackle certain issues, while at the same time being able to use this tool to structure that and eventually come to a work plan from which you then can derive as well your milestones and the tasks that need to be delivered. So what I've done is basically try to translate the charter that we have into a mind map as a kind of starting point for the working group to look at. And again, this is just a tool that you may find helpful if the working group feels that, you know, this won't help you in getting your work plan developed. We can definitely consider other approaches. But as I said, all the working groups have used this, and I think to quite successfully in structuring their thoughts and approaches. So basically how I've done this, and the version you actually see on the screen now is a little bit different as the one I sent you, because following our call yesterday with the chairs group, I realized that the order of the subjects may make more sense the other way around. So I've reorganized it here. The content is still the same. So if you have printed it out, you can still follow it by the headlines. It's just in a different order on the screen. So basically where it starts at the top is the project information, and just basic what is this project about, and main links to other information. Then it goes into the basic requirements. Some of these elements were already outlined in the charter. Some of these follow from some of the discussions we had with the leadership team. And again, this is, you know, a starting point. We can build on this. But the idea is that here we would outline which are some of the basic requirements that the working group would need to meet in order to actually start this work. So it talks about, you know, what are the basic documents you would need to look at, what are the basic materials the working group would need to understand in order to start tackling this charter question. Also looking at, you know, what are other projects or working groups that are actually looking at potentially similar questions or may have recommendations that may relate to the work we're looking at. And again, I've listed here some of the ones that I'm aware of. And then as well, I think it's a point we'll come to as well, are there any external experts or external information the working group may need to look at that takes us up a higher level, takes us out of the ICANN context, but looks at the broader debate of, you know, policy implementation? Because, of course, you know, the ICANN world is not unique as to where this debate has been held. Are there any other, you know, frameworks or documents that we may be looking at or diving into, or experts we may want to talk to that would set the stage, basically, for our discussions and deliberations? So basically, again, I think this is something that, you know, we can hopefully build on, because there may be other areas that people feel we need to look at a first step before we dive into the other parts. So if you go down, you see the working group tasks. And again, all of this is basically copy and paste from what is in the charter. I think the idea eventually would be that we are able to either divide those tasks into parts that are part of the basic requirements. There are certain elements such as, you know, the reaching out in the beginning of the process, which you're already doing, which is probably a basic requirement, is a kind of starting point. But again, the information we get from there will need to flow back to the relevant charter questions we're looking at. And there may be others that need to be added here. And ideally, we're able to map those tasks to the relevant charter questions, which are listed below. I haven't started doing that yet, because I think that's really a task for the working group to start debating. So the idea would really be that with the tasks you identify, those basically lead up to coming to some kind of conclusions or recommendations for each of these charter questions. So it may be the case that for each charter question, we'll be able to identify, you know, which is the kind of information we need to gather in order to actually be able to answer that charter question, or, you know, who are the people we need to talk to, or how do we approach that? For example, again here, I think it's where you would come in with, would we need a sub-team? So do we create a sub-team? If so, how do we structure it? You know, do they develop a separate work plan? How do they report back? So I think all of that can be captured here. And then ideally, at the end of our kind of brainstorming process, we'll be able to capture it all and translate that back into a work plan. Then basically, once we've done this, it should hopefully become clear as what are the different tasks we need to complete for us to be able to be ordered to answer the charter questions we've been given. So once we have that overall picture, I think then we're in a position to actually draw from that and develop a work plan with assigned tasks and milestones, and use that as then our guiding document as we do our work. And what typically happens then as well throughout the process, that at the end of the working group deliberations, we go back to the mind map and say, okay, so now we've actually, we feel that we're at a point where we've completed our work, but did we actually cover everything? And then, again, I think from experience with other working groups, that has been quite successful as well. And then going back and going, oh, actually, we missed an important element, or we missed a certain question that we said we would look at, and we actually didn't. So it allows the working group then as well to just to check back as what did we initially set out to do, and how did we think of doing that, and have we done so, and did we, you know, check all the boxes? So that's a little bit the idea behind the mind map. And as I'm now sharing my screen, I would also be able to actually start adding things as we start discussing, and I'll do my best to capture and move things around, but you have to be a little bit patient with me as well, because I'm not as well-versed in this as Mikey is. I'm doing my best. So in certain cases, it may be that I'll need to go away after the call to, you know, clean up things, you know, draw things back and forth, so that I can then provide you with an updated version after the call that you can then have a look at and review. So I think that's basically the update on the mind map. Maybe just one thing to note as well, what I have up is indeed mind mapping software, and I think there's also free software available if for those of you interested in playing around with this or using this. But what I will always do is actually export this as a PDF document so that anyone can basically review it as well. It just means it's more static and you actually can't play around with it, but it still allows you to see all the information and you know, provide any feedback as you see appropriate.
Thank you very much, Marika. Before I open it up to questions or comments, let me point out, and those of you that have been in lots of working groups, you already know this, but for those that are new, the ICAM policy staff is a tremendous resource, and they're invaluable in the work of working groups. Some of us go back to when we had no staff support for the working groups, and then we had one person, and the policy support team is fantastic, and a critical part of us being able to accomplish the work that's in front of us. Now, that said, let me open it up to questions or comments of any nature related to the mind mapping tool itself, or how we would use that to develop a work plan, any concerns about that or support for that. I personally think it gives us a nice avenue for moving forward on developing a work plan, but maybe everybody else disagrees with that. And so this is a working group where all of you have input, so I'm opening it up right now to discussion on that. Anne.
Yes, thank you, Chuck. This is Anne with IPC, but I'm working on this in an individual capacity. And my question, and this is my first working group, so thank you for your patience with me, but my question is about the, what's called the deliverables. In our initial tasks, we are to develop a timetable for the deliverables. And for those who are really experienced in this process, would they consider that the deliverables are the answers to the first 5 points, or how would you get in this initial task of developing a timetable for deliverables? How would you get a lasso around that issue?
Marika, would you like to respond to that?
Yeah, this is Marika. At least from my perspective, I think the deliverables are indeed recommendations that provide responses to the charter questions, so indeed the 5 questions. I think indeed everything we're set out to do should lead to a response or a recommendation in relation to those 5 charter questions. But again, I think that's from my perspective. Others may have other views on that.
This is Chuck again. Anne, did that answer your question, or do you want a follow-up?
I guess deliverables, meaning if what Marika is saying, answer these 5 questions, and what is your timetable for answering the 5 questions? Is that what's being said?
This is Marika. If I can add to that, I think the work plan, at least in standard more PDP working groups, the work plan is intended to outline to the council when they can expect to receive an initial report and when they can expect to receive a final report. So I think it's a little bit similar here, is that our work plan would outline, and for our own purposes, we would likely make that more detailed and saying, okay, so these are the different steps we've identified that we need to accomplish in order to actually get those to those, you know, draft recommendations that would go into an initial report. So hence, we estimate that by this deadline, we would be able to publish an initial report. So I think from the council perspective, they're mainly interested in knowing when they can expect those milestones. But I think for the sense of the working group, I think we may want to be more specific in trying to build up that, especially if we identify certain tasks or, you know, surveys or work that needs to be undertaken. If we can put time frames on that, it will allow us to map that to the deliverable of that first major milestone, which is likely to be an initial report, unless, of course, the working group decides to publish something different before that, or have a different format of communicating.
Okay. It's Anne again, Chuck, if I may. My comment with respect to that and the timetable and the process of deliverables is, it seems that with respect to these 5 questions, we have to determine as a working group if they are dependent in time on one another. In other words, is developing something in response to 2 dependent upon completing 1 first or not? Are they interdependent in time sequence, or can they be worked on separately?
Absolutely, Anne. This is Chuck again. You're right on target. And note something. I want to call attention to one thing in particular that Marika said that's really important to realize. She said that we will break this out into more detail. So we have the 5 charter questions. We have some tasks that are listed there now that came out of the charter, but our work plan will probably have even more detail as we refine that. Now, one of the things that the leadership team talked about yesterday was the fact that some of the questions and some of the tasks overlap a little bit, And you raised the really important point that we need to identify the interdependencies of those tasks and make sure they're built into our timeline the best that we can early on in the process, understanding that we will this is all going to be fairly dynamic. It doesn't mean that we can't make modifications along the way as we learn things or as we find out one task takes longer than we anticipated or one gets done more quickly. So thank you very much. Very, very good interjection there.
Thank you.
Gideon. Gideon, are you on mute? We cannot hear you. Okay, while Gideon's checking his situation. Are you there, Gideon? Okay. All right. So, and note that Marika responded to Anne with regard to something that can be built into Mind Map there, so I'll call your attention to that. For those that aren't on Adobe, she said that that's something that could also be built into the Mind Map to show that one charter question is dependent on an answer to the other. I assume, Marika, that could be done to show dependencies between tasks as well, not just questions. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct.
Thank you. All right. Not hearing Gideon, I'll come back to Gideon if he's able to speak later. Let's go to Maureen.
Uh-huh.
Maureen, are you on mute?
Hello, can you hear me?
Ah, we can. Thank you.
Okay. It's the mute button. Thanks. It's Maureen Coverley for the record. I think what we have here is a really good list of what we need to accomplish, and it's very much the what we need to do, and I'm looking forward to seeing it progressing off in the eastern direction, off to the right-hand side, with the details on how we're going to accomplish it. So I'd suggest that what we need to do is look at, first of all, that question about whether things can be done simultaneously or whether there's a dependence that would suggest a sequence. And then just look at each of these and what the implications for how much work is involved in each one, and attach the timeline after that. I think that until we look at the scope of each of them, it's hard to establish a timeline. So maybe there's a step in between what we have now and establishing the timeline, and that is getting a sense of the scope and depth of each one of these, what to do and figuring out how to do.
Excellent points, Maureen. Thank you.
Okay,
Alan.
Welcome.
Thank you. I guess I just wanted to step back for a moment. If this were a PDP, then the outcome is clear. The outcome would be one or more recommendations, should we choose to make any recommendations at all. This is not a PDP. This is a group that was put together to try to, in the highest level, understand the issues and then figure out, once we understand the issues of policy and implementation, what do we do to make things work better? And the charter questions, the group that put together the charter worked very hard to try to come up with what I'll call a laundry list of things that we probably need to discover or need to talk mm-hmm. about. I think at this point there's still some initial work to be done so we understand what the overall territory looks like. And what are the major division points in policy and implementation? And we've already talked about a little bit about a third one that divides what is currently called implementation. And as we understand the topology better, I think the scope of what we're going to do may change. So I wouldn't get too hung up on putting detailed timelines in. For those of us who have participated in other working groups, things change anyway as we go along, because the things we think are simple become hard, you know, we just didn't understand, and sometimes vice versa. So I wouldn't get too hung up on detailed timelines at this point, but but lay out the overall scope of what we're trying to do, and things get refined as we go forward.
Thank you, Alan. And he's sure right that things will change. We do have a responsibility to provide some estimated timelines, but we don't need to get too far ahead of ourselves in that. That'll be much easier, as others have said, once we have a better feel how we're going to organize our work and a lot of the other issues that people have raised. Let me go back to Gideon. Gideon, are you able to speak now? Okay, can't hear him. So, Gideon, hopefully you can at least communicate what you wanted to say, if you can hear me, on our working group list, if not in the chat in Adobe, so that we can hear your what you have to say. Anyone else want to comment or ask a question on this issue?
This is Marika. Just to note that I've already started taking some notes based on the comments made so far, so you can see that I've started adding those to the basic requirements section, because I think that's where some of those comments related to. But again, you know, if you see that I'm putting something in that you weren't saying, or if I put it in the wrong place, you know, just put it in the chat or send me a note, and we can update it accordingly. But I'll do my best to try to keep up with the conversations and add things in as they are being suggested, so hopefully then at the end, people can review what was added based on the conversations or think further about what is still missing.
And I was counting on that, Marika. Thank you. you do a great job at that. Okay, Holly.
Yes, thanks. I'd like Holly Reich for the Transcript Records. I'd like to support what Alan said, because being part of the original charter group that developed the charter, some of the deliverables, and it's really a response to Anne, may simply be, we have answered that question in the following way because it is in the following documents, or we don't think that question is appropriate, or this question is too complex, it needs to go to a PDP. Because what we were asking is really high level, which was really about policy, about implementation, about who does what, when, and how it might be done better, I think the deliverables were going to come in a variety of sizes and shapes. And so I absolutely support Alan saying if we make things too tight, we actually haven't accepted the fact that the original questions that were
being
asked...
Speak a little louder, please.
Sorry. The original questions that were being asked are really quite high level, and they're about processes and how that might be done better. So the deliverables aren't the usual kind of final report with recommendations. So I guess that's a task that the leadership group is going to have to come to terms with. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Holly. I appreciate that. I want to come back to a couple things that Alan said, especially for those that may be newer to the GNSO and working groups in particular. Is there anyone who needs a little more explanation in terms of what happens to the output of working groups in the case of a PDP versus a working group like this that is not a formal PDP? If you need more explanation on that, please raise your hand or speak up. Otherwise, I'll assume everybody's okay with that particular issue. But it is an important issue, and then I'll make another comment after I give opportunity for that. Amr.
Yeah, hi, this is Amr. I'm relatively new to the process, so I wouldn't mind an explanation. Thanks.
Okay, this is Chuck again. Let me start it off, but others are welcome to jump in on this, because a lot of you understand this pretty well. In registry and registrar agreements, they are required to implement consensus policies, and there's some limits around what the consensus policies can cover. There's something called a picket fence and so forth. But if there's a consensus policy, and what happens with a consensus policy, a working group recommends the policy, the GNSO Council then, if it approves it, sends it on to the board. It doesn't become a consensus policy until the board approves it. Once it becomes a consensus policy, then the registries and registrars within whatever time frame it seems appropriate, depending on the complexity of the implementation, are required to implement that consensus policy. But there's a PDP process, as you know, that's in the ICANN bylaws in Appendix A, I believe, and there are working group guidelines, et cetera. The working group guidelines don't just apply, though, to PDPs. In this case, the GNSO Council didn't initiate it initiated the working group, but it's not a policy development process as Alan indicated. So I'll come back to that and talk about that. The work of the GNSO involves more than just developing consensus policy. This particular issue, and I guess I'm really jumping ahead to my additional comments, is that there's been a great deal of ambiguity in the ICANN community with regard to whether there's a line between policy development and implementation and what staff can do in implementation, if it's implementation instead of policy. I won't go through all that. A lot of that is dealt with in the charter as a background for this working group. So this particular topic is extremely important. Even though it may not be classified a PDP in the formal sense, we will follow working group guidelines just like PDPs do. And I believe it's not so much a matter of registries and registrars implementing what comes out of this working group, but the whole community and the way we work together and how things are done in the future when policies are developed and need to be implemented. Now, I'll stop there and give it to Marika.
Thanks, Chuck. Just maybe to add to what you're saying, because I think it was a very good explanation, is that indeed the expected outcome of this working group is not contractual obligations on registries and registrars for which you would use a PDP to come to consensus policies. I think the outcomes that you may see here, looking at the questions at hand, may be potential changes to, you know, the PDP manual or to the bylaws or maybe other kinds of recommendations that are maybe shared, you know, with the board or other parts of the community or setting out processes. And those have those changes, if there would be changes, for example, to the GNSO operating procedures, they don't need to go through a PDP in order to enact those. They will still need to go through certain steps. You know, they need to be posted for public comment. The GNSO Council will need to adopt them with a simple majority. The board has oversight over those potential changes. There are still certain steps that would need to be followed in order for the GNSO to act on such recommendations or for those to be implemented. But they are of a different nature than as consensus policy recommendations that would need to go through a PDP. And if I can add one thing, because I had a private chat with Gideon and he asked me to convey his comment as he wasn't able to speak up because of issues with the microphone. His comment was actually that the chart outline is good for the group to understand the tasks at hand. I believe the timely deliverables shall be customized and filtered down so that the set timelines can be achieved.
Thank you for sharing that, and thank you for the very well-worded addition to the comments on our working group and its relationship to PDPs, et cetera. That was very well said, Marika, so I appreciate that. Avery, you're next. Avery, are you on? Yeah, there you go. Oh, you no longer want to speak. Okay. All right. If you do have a comment, please feel free to speak up. Amr, does that help give you a better understanding?
Yeah, this is Amr. Yeah, I think I do, because my main question was or what I really was wondering about was the difference between a PAP working group and this one. I think you and Marika both answered the question very well. Thanks. Appreciate
it. Thank you. I very much appreciate you bringing that up. And in my own opinion, and I think it's validated by the interest in this working group, this is a very critical issue that we're dealing with in the ICANN community and has the potential of having impact in years ahead and helping the whole community, certainly the GNSO, but also the whole community do things even better in the future. So I think even though this isn't a formal PDP, this is one of the most critical working groups for quite a while and will have huge impact in the future. Anybody else want to comment on that? Okay. Is there anybody that's strongly opposed to using the mind mapping software and approach with lots of staff help in developing our work plan? Please, you know, either indicate that you disagree in Adobe or speak up or share a comment. Okay. So I think it looks like we're all on the same page. We obviously have a lot to learn and a lot to do in this regard. We only have a little over 10 minutes left in our call. As the next step then, let's talk a little bit about basic requirements. You'll see that in the mind mapping thing. And is it possible to enlarge the mind map so the basic requirements are easier for people to read?
This is Rick. I'll try zooming in, but as an alternative, you can use the full screen option that may help as well.
Okay. All right. So if you need to use the full screen option. I know the problems with doing that. You can't see some of the other stuff that's going on, but another option is if you have a printed copy of this, you can look at the basic requirements. The question I have for the group is this. As far as basic requirements, does anyone see anything that might be missing in the basic requirements? And I'll allow time for thought, so a little, if it's quiet for a minute, I want people to focus on that because you didn't know this question was coming. Anne?
Yes, thank you, Chuck. Am I unmuted?
You are.
Oh, good, okay. It's Anne Aikman-Scalise. I confess I did not actually, you know, have time to study this, and I'm with a question like, is anything missing from the basic requirements? I don't honestly think that I personally could answer that question on this call right now in this meeting. I think I would personally need time to study it.
That is fine. And in fact, in most cases when we deal with something, we will allow for follow-up and additional time as needed. So we will come back in our next meeting after we get rid of the administrative issues that are brief at the beginning. This is probably where we will start, but I at least wanted to get people thinking about it today so that they will do what you just said is needed and be prepared to continue this discussion on the list in between the meetings and in our next meeting 2 weeks from now. So excellent point. Thank you very much for that, and thank you for enlarging the basic requirements in Adobe for those that are in Adobe. So, Alan, you're next.
It's nothing missing, but I would suggest that the last item, understanding the overall territory, which I was making reference to, even though I couldn't get the word territory to come out of my mouth, really is the first one, and I would almost divide it into two. because if you look at the history that led to this group being formed, there has been a real lack over the last dozen years or so in ICANN, even though we've been using the term policy and implementation on a very regular basis. We have never taken the trouble to really understand the relationship, what each step is composed of, and certainly the implementation, which includes a whole variety of different sins and different tasks, we've never really tried to understand. So I would put that potentially near the top of our thing. We can certainly look in parallel outside, but I think we need to understand what we're talking about in the ICANN context, and that has to be done early in the process, not late in the process.
Thank you, Alan. Before I respond, I want to welcome Jeff Newman to the call. Thanks for joining us, Jeff. I know all of us have conflict sometime, but we're glad you're getting the tail end of this. And certainly, if you have any questions, there's several of us that will bring you up to date as needed. Alan, what I want to do is I appreciate those suggestions. Anybody disagree with Alan's suggestions? They look pretty good to me, but feel free if you would approach it differently to speak up. Otherwise, we will assume that all of you on this call are comfortable with what he suggested. And keep in mind, this is all very dynamic, so it's not as if we're not at the end where we're ready to send something to the council. So there are there will be lots of opportunities for modifications as we go forward. Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, just a further thought. When I look at my own thoughts on this, and I can trace it based on a number of notes I've written within at large and within the GNSO, the overall issue was so lacking in precision that when we started, that at every stage, every time a discussion has been held, we've gone a little bit further, and sometimes we backtracked. But I suspect, and I like making predictions at the beginning of a process when we have no real way to understand how it's going to go through, that once we really understand and come up with some precise terms, our problems are going to be a lot easier to address. And we're not there yet, but I think that part of the challenge is making sure we're all using the same words in the same way, and we may find the task is a lot easier once we've come down to that stage. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Maureen.
Hello, yes, Maureen Coverley. I have a question, not for an answer now, but to add to our list of questions. And it's regarding basic requirements the middle box take into account projects running concurrently that may relate, etc. Given what I've heard, it sounds like they're going to relate, that the mandate of this project is broad enough that it's going to have an impact across the board. So my question is, are we looking at whether or not these projects relate in how they're progressing now, in the work that they're doing, or in the impact that the work that's being undertaken in those four projects might have on our work, or, and there's a third or, is what we are doing going to in some way change the work they're doing or change their outcomes? Three-part question.
Okay, this is Chuck. Before I turn it over to others, what do you think on those three questions?
Who are you addressing?
The Maureen.
You're addressing me?
Yes.
Well, again, you know, it's been a while. I have been involved in PDP, but not in a working group with this kind of an overreaching mandate. So I guess my confusion level is probably well established. However, I think that given what you've said about the importance and the scope of this work and the what I can understand, what I've understand you to say is the outcome, which will have an impact on everything ICANN's doing from a policy and implementation and process in the future. I can't see how those four cannot have an impact. And I'm wondering if we need to hive off a separate group to work on those things specifically to look for where the implications might be in a back-and-forth way. Because I think it's a separate body of work that needs to feed into what we're doing.
Thank you very much, and I'm counting on Marika capturing all that. Very, very good contributions. Now, before we've got a queue here, because we're just about out of time, and I want to stick to our 90 minutes to respect people's schedules, I need to ask everybody to be fairly brief. Keep in mind we're going to continue this. I'm not asking you to put your hand down. I'm just asking you to be brief. And especially if anybody wants to respond to Maureen briefly. Marika, did you want to respond to that? You had your hand up before.
Yes, Chuck, Marika is just dialing back in right now.
Oh, she
my
is.
Hand,
okay.
My hand was to respond to Maureen.
And Anne and Michael, did you want to respond to Maureen?
Thank you,
it's Anne.
Just trying to respond quickly. I was really talking more about a point about taking into account the projects running concurrently. That I had a question about the project that's running with respect to developing GAC participation in policy earlier in the process, so that we don't have these conflicts developing so late between policy development process and GAC policy. Isn't that one of the other concurrent projects that could impact our work?
Absolutely.
And so I think it should be listed. And then responding very quickly to Alan's discussion about what Alan was saying is that when we define what policy is and what implementation is and what these terms really mean, that a lot of our problems will be solved. I'm probably in the camp that feels that may be a goal that could be an elusive goal, in the sense that it seems to me what we're really talking about is how to get a smoother working relationship once policy begins to be implemented. Because the issues arise when we start talking about staff implementation, but there seems to be a policy aspect to it. And, of course, the bylaws say that staff thinks it's implementation, that then GNSO writes a letter to the ICANN board. However, what's really happening is we're seeing and we're saying, in part because of the way that the whole GAC process works and other decision-making processes, that we want GNSO to be able to continue to have input on things that strike them as policy through the implementation process. And I personally feel that is far more important in terms of the decision-making process and operating smoothly than defining per se what is implementation, what is policy. It's the timing of the matter, and it's the continuing input in a legitimate, valid way with, from GNSO. Not just GNSO Council, by the way, but I think this, as I mentioned when I was in charter, I think it's more of a timing issue than it is a definitional issue.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, we're about out of time, so I've got to ask each of you to be like a 36 comment, and you'll get more opportunity to talk next time when Jay Scott is hopefully leading this call. Michael. Are you on mute, Michael? Can't hear you. Michael Graham, are you there? Okay, we'll come back to Michael. Alan.
Thank you. Two quick comments. One, to respond to Anne, I don't think I said once we define them, all our problems will solve. I think I said something closer to once we have definitions that we're all using the same terms, the discussion will be a lot easier. And the whole issue that you raised of you know, staff is implementing things and we think that there's a policy aspect, that's the problem. We're using the term implementation right now as a grab bag for a lot of different things, and I think that's one of the problems. In terms of what Maureen was saying with the other groups, there's overlap in this group between this group and pretty much every other activity that's going on. So I don't think we need to formalize the relationships. I think as things evolve, you know, there will be natural information being traded back and forth.
Thank you, Alan. And Holly, you get the last word.
Thank you very much. two things. First, from Alan's to support what Alan had said. From my understanding, and this was because I was on a working group that formed this charter, we are not going into the actual mechanisms of any other particular inquiry except to look at the processes that are being used and to look at those particular inquiries or processes that impact on what we mean by policy, what we mean by implementation. And to say to Anne, we've actually had exactly your discussion and lots of others. This group is a lot broader than just about GNSO and GAC. That's my understanding, and I think the intention of the whole drafting team.
Thank you very much, Holly. Okay, we're a little over time, so I want to bring the meeting to a close. Somebody's not on mute there. Somebody trying to speak there? Can't understand. Okay. I want to thank everybody for good participation in this call. Please continue to participate on the list, and we'll pick up from here in our next call 2 weeks from now, and look forward to continuing to work together. Have a good rest of the week. Thanks again.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye-bye.